place this morning that I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews 13, the last chapter of Hebrews. Chapter 13, as we will consider this morning, verses 7 and 8, reading verses 7 through 19. The heading inserted in my copy of Scripture before chapter 13 says, Concluding Exhortations. Some very short, final exhortations that the writer gives to his audience to keep on loving one another, to entertain strangers, to remember those in prison. Then he talks about marriage being honored, keeping our lives free from the love of money. And then we take up our consideration at verse 7 where he begins to talk about leadership. Hear now the word of God. Verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp, and so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. There ends the reading of God's word. The text again, verses 7 and 8. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, indeed this morning as a congregation we experience a change. Now we know that change is a common part of life. Change is indeed an everyday part of our lives. We change, for example, physically. Boys and girls, you know that as you grow taller. I suspect that the clothes that you wore last year don't fit you this year any longer. For those of us who are no longer growing taller, we might grow a little bit wider, and our clothes too don't necessarily fit us anymore like they once did. We change mentally, we change emotionally as we grow and mature, we change spiritually as we grow by God's grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We change intellectually. Again, boys and girls, as you advance from one grade in school to the next grade, as you learn more and more, you grow in wisdom and in knowledge. The seasons change. And the list of changes, beloved, that we face in our lives is indeed endless. Some are good, some are not so good. Some are difficult, some are not so difficult. And again, change also takes place in the church. It always has. Some changes are good, some are not so good. In a practical way, all we need to do is lay side by side two picture directories, one from, say, 15 years ago and a current one, and we see the changes visibly among a congregation. But this change is especially true with the change in visible leadership, as we have been reminded this morning, as new elders and deacons have been installed in office while those they replace retire from the offices in which they have served faithfully for 3 years. Change is inevitable in our lives. And as the text instructs us, whether those changes are easy or difficult, whether they are profitable or unprofitable, whether they are eternally damaging or not, depends on the one who is changeless and our relationship with him, Jesus Christ, the one who is God himself, the one who was anointed by his Father to offer his saving work. This one, as the text says, is the same yesterday and today and forever. And boys and girls, that means that even as things necessarily change in our lives, we must know that we can only handle these necessary changes if we are founded by faith, by God's grace, on Jesus, who stays the same. You see, he is always the only Savior. He is always praying for us. He will always be there for his people. His work is always effective for all who look to him in repentance and faith. And therefore, the powerful message of this text this morning, beloved, is staying faithful in the midst of change, by looking back in remembrance. But staying faithful in the midst of change also includes, secondly, moving forward by imitation. Staying faithful in the midst of change, first of all, by looking back in remembrance. Now, it's good for us to understand the context of this text this morning. Now, the church that is being addressed here was in the midst of a transition, in the midst of a change. They were going through, or they had already gone through, a leadership change, a little bit like us today, as their first leaders had passed from the scene. And therefore, we read in verse 7, "Remember your leaders." Another translation says it a little bit more pointedly, "Remember those who led you," pointing to the past. And very simply, what we have here is a command to call back to mind something about someone, and in this case, someone who was no longer present. And that's not to say that they were not to have regard for their current leaders, because in verse 17, they are given a command regarding their current leaders. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Yet, beloved, there was another change that threatened this church, a change that threatened due to strange and unbiblical teachings, as verses 9 through 13 point out. Verse 9 begins, "Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings." And we know from church history, and not just church history from 400 or 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago, but even from church history of our history, of our lifetimes, we know from church history that that is a danger that the church battles constantly, as varied and strange teachings continue to creep into the church with the goal to dethrone Jesus Christ from the hearts of mankind and to wipe out the teaching of his saving sacrifice, with a goal to change the foundation on which the church has been built. That was indeed the concern of the church addressed here, as throughout this letter we see comments regarding that. The church was called to remain steadfast. The church was called to persevere in the faith, to not give up meeting together, to fix their eyes on Jesus, and to run the race of faith. This church being addressed, beloved, was in constant need of this admonition, because she was always on the verge of going back to the Judaism that she had left behind, going back to the Old Testament sacrificial system that the writer clearly says was abolished by the one final perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And therefore, this congregation was being called to stay faithful in the midst of change as they move ahead. And in order for there to be faithful continuity, they were to be faithfully looking back in remembrance. Look back to where you came from, remembering those who led them. And what's fascinating here was they were called to remember their first leaders, the very first ones to bring them the salvation message. The very first leaders. Now, we need to understand that this text is not an exhortation allowing God's people to put leaders on a pedestal, to create a monument to them of some sort. This is not some sort of an exhortation to follow just any leader who has or will come down the pike. As well, what is being called to remember is not a leader's personality, not their kindness or hospitality or their generosity of these past leaders, as wonderful as those things may have been. Those personality characteristics, you see, are shaped by one's faith. They are important for the life of the congregation, but those personality traits die with a person. The qualifier of those who are to be remembered are those who spoke the word of God to you. And therefore, remembering what they were taught. Those who must be remembered. And that which is to be remembered about them is that they didn't try to change the changelessness of Jesus Christ. Instead, they spoke the changeless word of God. They faithfully built upon that one and only foundation that Paul says can never be changed, Jesus Christ and his glorious redemptive work. This church was commanded to remember those who confirmed and passed on the very word of salvation that was first announced by the Lord himself, as the writer says in chapter 2, verse 3. Beloved, those who are to be remembered are only those who faithfully point out or pointed out the way, only way, to the Father. Church leaders change. We can't help that. Even churches that have lifetime office bearers, upon death, leadership changes. In many churches, the council room wall tells the story, the history, in pictures of that church's pastors, from the first one to the current one. For many congregations, as here with the Cornerstone United Reformed Church, there is a changing of the guard every single year. Yet those changes, beloved, should not be traumatic. They should not cause worry if the changelessness of Jesus Christ is maintained. And that's the key, isn't it? The changelessness of Jesus Christ is to be maintained. That which ensures the continued health and vitality of a church by the grace of God is when Jesus Christ, who is always the same yesterday, today, and forever, is prioritized by leaders and by members alike. And therefore, the priority is not to be personal preference. The priority is not to be what I think it ought to be or how I feel it ought to be, but Jesus Christ alone is to be our priority. And he is prioritized in the power of the Holy Spirit by remembering those who, led by faith in Jesus, faithfully transmitting the truth of the message of salvation to those who came after them. If the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, has been spoken and taught in the past faithfully by God's grace, that is teaching that transcends, that endures, that governs the changes of time. But notice there's something else in this text. The qualifier, only those who spoke the word of God to you. But notice what else the writer says, remembering their conduct, considering the outcome of their way of life, what they did with that word of God. Now, to consider here has the idea to look at again and again and again, to observe carefully, because what we are called to observe is worth noting. You see, beloved, each one of us is called to leave a legacy. What kind of legacy will you leave? As believers, we are called to leave a legacy by living according to and being obedient to the Word of God. These leaders that were to be remembered literally practiced what they preached. They imitated the Lord Jesus Christ. They lived and died in the faith, and therefore they could confess confidently that they had fought the good fight, they had kept the faith, they had finished the race, and they had confidence of that crown of life stored up for them. The church that is being addressed was wavering. They were on the verge of going back to their old practices, and therefore they are admonished to look to those who didn't waver, to look to those whose quality of faith fell in line with the heroes of faith, those listed in Hebrews chapter 11, the Old Testament heroes of faith that we love to read about, those whom God has given us for our instruction and for our encouragement. That cloud of witnesses, and included there in chapter 11, verse 4, is Abel. And it says of Abel, through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Notice, it's not his kindness or his generosity or his cheerful attitude that still speaks, but his faith still speaks. The faith of the cloud of witnesses, of all of the saints who have gone before, even our believing loved ones are a part of that cloud. The faith of that cloud of witnesses is to rise up as a chorus of praise, encouraging all the saints who follow. Well, how do we remember and consider the faith of those who have gone before? Very simply, by being students of the past. And it begins, beloved, by being students of Scripture, studying the Word of God, desiring and delighting to sit under the faithful preaching of that Word of God, studying it in the privacy of our homes, studying Scripture alone by which Jesus said you will know the truth that sets you free, but also by being students of church history and considering and remembering that which has been built on the truth of Scripture. Thinking about our Reformed creeds and confessions. Our Reformed creeds and confessions not only intimately connect us with Reformation Christians from 500 years ago, but since, as we say, that they are the church's studied response to the teaching of Scripture, our Reformed creeds and confessions also intimately connect us with Scripture's truth. With the truth, as Hebrews makes clear, that Jesus Christ alone is the perfect sacrifice for sin. That Jesus Christ alone paid the penalty for sin. That Jesus Christ alone reconciles us to the Father, so that the Father justifies us by His grace through faith unto everlasting life. God's people, by His grace of sanctification, remain faithful in part by looking back and remembering the faith of those who practiced what they preached, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet it doesn't stop there. The writer isn't finished. Secondly, staying faithful in the midst of change includes moving forward by imitation, copying, tracing. Boys and girls, maybe you like to take a nice, clean, white sheet of paper that you can sort of see through and lay it over a picture in your coloring book and trace over the picture in the coloring book. That's the idea here. To trace. To be a carbon copy, in a sense. Now, we know that many things become old-fashioned. Many things become out of style. And sadly, the faith and the practice of true faith also becomes out of style. We need to change with the times, we are told. We need to upgrade. We need to allow our current culture to dictate what Scripture actually means. No, not at all. Moving forward by imitation, because the truth of Jesus Christ is timeless. Oh, indeed, applications might be different for you and I than they were for the believers 2,000 years ago in many ways. But the truth of Jesus Christ is timeless. It's not bound by time or culture or new ideas that creep into the church. And therefore, the faith of the apostles and their apostolic witness is relevant and absolutely necessary for every age. And so that faith is to be imitated. It is to be traced over from generation to generation while the Lord tarries until Jesus Christ comes again. Since Jesus Christ is changeless, that true faith of those who have gone before may be imitated with confidence, so that in a sense, as we follow their faith, we may be assured that by God's grace we follow Christ. And notice, too, that heroes of faith alone are to be imitated. In our day, people are made worthy of being followed way too easily. Many follow, many try to imitate celebrities and not true heroes. Heroes who are known for their courage, who are known for their character, their principle, who are known for doing what is honorable and worthwhile. Many people, children, young people. So many idolize movie stars and sports figures and singers and models. Sadly, it's not character, it's not principle, it's not integrity or accomplishment or conviction, and certainly it is not true faith that draw a following today. But it is popularity and image and good looks and the ability to entertain. Dear people of God, society has severely and dangerously lowered the standard on those who are worthy to be followed. And it affects the church too. The church is pressured to compromise the hard truth, the truth of the gospel, that truth which the Bible itself says offends those who refuse to believe. The church is pressured to give in to society's demands for tolerance, all kinds of tolerance of sinful acts and activities. The Bible clearly speaks out against. To compromise with society's demands for acceptable worship that doesn't require anything of me, but simply makes me feel good, and then I can leave. Yet the text specifies heroes of faith. We are to move forward by imitating those who themselves imitate Jesus Christ and His truth, and not some twisted, watered-down, distorted perspective of it. Because those who seek to change Him change His salvation, and therefore they lose it, because it is no longer the truth. Paul exhorts Timothy in his second letter to stand firm, and he says, "What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus." And it was that which Timothy was also then to entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. And why was this so important? In 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Why is this so important? Because this alone is the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. And therefore, beloved, what a challenge for us. All of God's people are to be imitatable only because of true faith in Jesus Christ. Are we imitatable? Are we traceable? As a congregation, are we built on the solid foundation of the changeless Christ? Praise be to God, I believe we are by His grace. As a congregation, do we imitate those who have gone before from generation to generation, who have faithfully shown us Jesus Christ? Again, praise be to God. I believe the answer is yes. May it be, if we should ever drift even a little bit from that path, that our God would quickly, in a flash, draw us back to that straight and correct way. As leaders, especially those of you who have now been installed this morning, as leaders, will you imitate those who have gone before, who led in the power of the Holy Spirit, standing firm on the Word of God? Today's leaders are tomorrow's past leaders, as those who have retired can now attest. Will you, as our current leaders, will you be worthy of being remembered, not because of your wit or because of your charm or because of your friendliness or because of your eloquent prayers, which are all wonderful, but will you be worthy of being considered and imitated because you have been those who remembered and imitated our Lord Jesus Christ and our Christian past by the grace of God? But it goes beyond pastors, elders, and deacons, doesn't it? It includes Sunday school and catechism teachers, cadet, GEMS, young people, Bible study leaders, VBS volunteers, of course, parents. And literally all who lead by witness and example, which I pray includes each and every one of us, both young and old, to imitate anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ and the Word of God is to teach a different doctrine, a false gospel. And Paul says that a different gospel is to be rejected. Beloved, we give honor to another when we think enough of them to imitate them. Parents are honored when their little children want to imitate them. May it be our desire and our delight to imitate the faithfulness of those who have gone before us and to be imitated by those who come after us. Not for their honor, those who have gone before, not for our personal honor, but so that Jesus Christ and His eternal work of redemption might receive all of the honor and glory. Because Jesus Christ alone and those who represent the truth of Him are to be our focus. As the writer says in chapter 12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Beloved elders, deacons, and congregation, as God's people, we are called to speak the word of truth, the whole word, and nothing but the word. We are called to uphold the word, the whole word, and nothing but the word. We are called to live in obedience to the word, the whole word, and nothing but the word. There is no other way to lead. There is nothing else that is to be followed. And therefore, may God cause us to be and to stay faithful in the midst of change by looking back in remembrance of that true faith once for all delivered to all the saints, and by moving forward by imitation of that very same true faith in Jesus Christ, our only Lord and Savior. He is the foundation of His church, which He loves and which He will preserve both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray together.